That's nice.
Says that all scripture is God.
word was given through men, superintended by God the Holy Spirit, so that his writings are without error. The doctrine and inspiration of Scripture is so important. It's been attacked since the very beginning of time. If you remember when Satan tempted Eve, Adam and Eve argued. Remember what he said? He said, surely God didn't say that. It can't be. And he's still using the same game plan with us today. John 17:17 says, the word is true. The Holy Spirit of God used men to write down the words of God. I want you to turn to 2 Peter. Hold your place there. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I want you to mark this in your Bible. I want you to know this passage. It's very important. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Listen to what he says. His word reveals the answer to our deepest questions and our greatest needs. His word gives us understanding about the world we live in, why we suffer so much, and most importantly, how we can be rescued. Rescued from the bondage that we are in by our sin. We're talking about 66 books written by over 40 authors who were inspired by God over a span of 1,500 years, and yet not one of these 66 books. In fact, they all tell one grand story about Christ coming to the world to save us, to redeem us from sin. It was originally written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. The New Testament was canonized in 375 AD, the Old Testament, long before Christ came. Canonized means that it had to be measured and tested by a standard of divine inspiration of the Lord. There was a test that it had to go through in order to understand and see that it was divine. The oldest, almost complete manuscript of the Bible is called the Codex Latinus, and it's dated back to the 4th century. There are older manuscripts in the New Testament dating all the way back to the 2nd century. The Bible has been translated 1,700 different languages, hundreds of others in partial translations. Some of the more recent English translations that we have today were translated by millions of scholars from resources over 5,800 New Testament manuscripts. Thousands of Old Testament manuscripts, the oldest dating back to 1,008 years before Christ came. The Bible in the ordinary man is a true miracle. It's a gift to us from our Creator. It is powerful because it is God's Word. But here's the question you have to answer. Each one of us has to answer this. Even with all the historical proof and all the prophecies that are documented that came to pass, which is literally, absolutely impossible, but yet it happened, it's still a matter of faith. It's still a matter of faith. Do you truly believe that the Bible are God's words without error? This is important in today's world. We don't just get to pick and choose. Do you believe that the Bible are God's words without error? Do you believe that this is truth? You see, God is perfectly true. Jesus said he is the truth. And that the word he said is true. And he said the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. God is perfect and holy. He could not give us his word if it wasn't true. It would be totally against the spirit. This is extremely important. important. It's why we hold to a statement of faith about the doctrine that we believe. And one of those doctrines is that we believe that this is God's word without error. We believe what we believe about the Bible. It changes the way we live. It changes the way we respond to unforeseen circumstances. It changes the way we handle our marriages. It changes the way we raise our children. It changes the goals and purposes that we pursue in life. If we truly believe that this is God's word given to us through His supernatural inspiration, then that changes the way we treat the Bible, the way we look at it, how we believe and how we respond to it. If we truly believe His word is true, it's going to change the way we listen to God. It's going to change the way we obey His word. Jesus said, you can't say that you love God and not obey Him. Did you know that? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. 1 John 5:3 says that this is the love of God that we keep His commandments, that we obey His commandments. Do you delight in the Word of God? If you read through Psalms, you'll get this idea, this over and over, the psalmist just has this insatiable love or delight in God's Word. Psalm 112:1-2 says this: blessed is the man who hears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed. It reminds me of Joshua. If you remember Joshua from the Old Testament, all throughout Joshua's life, you see his faith in the Word of God. If you remember, he was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the Promised Land just to check it out and see what this land is like. What are the people like? What's really there? We've heard all about it. What's it like? He was one of those 12 spies. And he comes back to give a report to God's chosen people. And he saw all the same things that the other 10 spies saw. Of course, the 10 spies brought back a bad report. Joshua saw the multitudes of people. He saw how big they were, how huge they were. The fortified cities, he saw all that. And listen to what he told the people. He said, the Lord is with us. Do not fear. He told the people, God will bring us into the land, this land, and give it to us. Now, how could Joshua, in the midst of overwhelming opposition, basically him against 2 million other people, how could he, in the midst of overwhelming opposition from everyone around him, make such a bold statement? Because this is exactly what God told them he would do. And Joshua believed God's word. He believed it. This was what God's word engaged the people, but the people put more faith in man's word rather than God's word. God's word was everything to Joshua. It was the foundation for living his life. If you remember, God told Joshua, said, hey, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Day and night. So that you will be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, it wasn't enough that the priests, they kind of kept guard over the word of God. Wherever they had to move from place to place, they could carry the word of God with them. It wasn't enough. See, God had Joshua take time to read it himself. For every day, God had Joshua to read, talk about his word, allow it to saturate his mind and heart, to become part of his inner being. God wanted his word to be on Joshua's mind and heart every day. And that was only going to happen if he was reading and studying and meditating and talking about it with other people. It just didn't happen all by itself. Through his instruction of Joshua, we learned a very important principle from God. How will we get to know God if we don't read his special revelation about his attributes? How will we get to know God? How do we know how he will respond and act in certain circumstances we face if we don't know how he responded in the past, if we don't know his character? How do we bring to mind the promises that he has given us, that they give us hope in the midst of a sin-tarnished, broken world if we don't read them, know them, memorize them? We won't. We'll rely on our own strength. As we talked about last week, we'll rely on what the Lord tells us. Do we delight in God's word? Is his word truly important to you? Is it your desire every day to wake up and tolerant of sinful behavior, and we begin, maybe not in our words, but in our actions, we begin to justify our own way of living as God. Because it makes us happy. It makes us happy to have control of our lives. It makes us happy to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And we begin to live by those terms for what we think is the follow Christ, even though those terms do not line up with God's word. If you can see the danger, this temporary happiness from living outside of God's will soon turns into frustration. It soon turns to pain, hopelessness, bondage, as we begin to live in the consequences of opposing God's way. And we think it sounds good because it's what everybody else around us is doing. And it feels happy, you know, makes us feel good temporarily for a moment. But then we find ourselves living in the consequences of walking outside of God's will, away from His Word. And many times, we don't see it's too late. Many times, we are in pain because we see it lived out in our children and grandchildren. We have slowly been seduced by the message of the Word. It slowly has saturated our minds like a dripping faucet. Slowly filling up that sponge. And it changes us. And sometimes you don't even realize it until it's too late. I don't think we understand the importance of the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12 tells that God's word is living and powerful, discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word can make a powerful impact on life because it changes us from the inside out. But if all we allow our minds to be saturated with is the message of the world, then we cannot expect to enjoy the abundant life and freedom that we have in Christ. We can't have both. We want to, but we can't. That's not the way it works. You must make time for God. Allow His word to saturate your mind and your heart. It's going to make a great impact in your life. It's going to impact your kids. God's way, remember this, God's way is always best. And His word reveals exactly what is best for you.
Oh, I never started. Gosh.
Which brings us to the next principle that we learn here. Allow God's word to change your mind and heart. If you allow it to saturate your mind and heart, it's going to change your mind and heart. Because it's word. Let's look at verse 16 and 17 again. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Think about that passage. Think about those verses. Paul goes on to explain how useful God's word is, how great an impact it has on our lives. He wanted Timothy to hold tightly to God's word, to have good doctrine. That means have a good understanding of God's word, means and how to apply it to his life and to others around him. Paul knew that only God's word would give Timothy the foundation that he needed to lead others and to make an impact on the world around him. He had to have that word of God. He needed that. Why does the Bible make such an impact on our lives? Just look at it. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is true. It reveals what is right and wrong. It reveals So since it is the Word of God about Himself, His creation, His people, the plan of redemption, the future, makes it very important that we teach and learn His Word. Very important. We should be known for being the people of the Bible. Instead, so many Christians are known for being hypocrites. Those who claim to follow the Bible but know little about it and don't live according to its ways. Hebrews 5:12-14. I want you to listen to this verse. It's a hard truth to swallow. And it begs us to evaluate our own hearts, where we stand with God's word. It's a tough one. Hebrews 5:12-14 says this. For another, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. How do we distinguish good and evil? By knowing God's word. God's word tells us what is good and what is evil. By living according to what he says and being trained by it, we become mature. Spiritually mature believers live righteous lives because they know the word of God. And they know God has given them the power to walk in His word, to obey His word. They are able to quickly discern what evil looks like in the world. And then without compromise, they are able to turn away from it and obey God's truth. They're not fooled by the seductive nature of the world's philosophies and ways. They know that the consequences are far too great to walk away from God's word. They know that the fruit of walking God's way will be seen for generations to come. It goes far beyond the life that we live here on this earth. Paul also says that the word of God is profitable for reproof and correction, which means that by the word of God, we hold each other accountable to obey the word. There's been a huge, I would say, a misinformation, false teaching made that we don't judge each other. And what I mean by judging each other, Paul says we don't judge those outside the church. We judge them inside. Because we can't judge those outside the church because they have no power over the flesh. They have no power to obey God's word at all. We don't judge them. And when Jesus says, hey, when you want to help your brother who's in sin, you need first to law of your own eye before you would respect some other eye, through your brother or your sister. Which means when you are going to help your brother and sister back toward God out of sin, you need to make sure that you deal with your own sin first. He doesn't say, hey, don't judge me, God, because you got the law of God. He says, when you do, you need to make sure that you look at the law of your own before you knock someone else. This is very, very important. And what we're talking about is accountability. Loving, gracious, gentle accountability to obey God's word. By our example of Christ-like living, we help hold people accountable. By the truth that we share with each other, the promises we share, God's truth that we share in gentleness and love, we help correct those who have fallen into sin. We help bring them back with love and compassion for them. Not out of pride and hypocrisy, but out of love and compassion. We help people along. We help carry their burdens. We get down with them and help them out of it. It's not a shocking, hypocritical look at their lives. It's like, I love you. I'm going to help you out of that. We share truth with us in gentleness. And maybe they don't know God's ways. Maybe they haven't heard. to obey God's word without accountability. You can't do that without accountability. We all need it. It's hard to grow and mature without accountability that comes from being a part of the body of Christ. It's one of the purposes, the main purposes that God has created the church. It's one of the purposes of being a part of the body. No, you can't be a Christian and be alone in the church. It doesn't work that way. When you're adopted by God as a child, you're also adopted in his family. And you become family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just for this short time on earth, like this world says, I'm talking about, we're family. Yeah. Eternity. And the love we should have for it's one of the purposes of the church. This accountability also helps us with the next one. The word is useful for training righteousness. It helps us live a lifestyle that God desires of us. The word trains us and helps us grow in spiritual maturity. It gives us all the instruction we need to know for righteous living, what that looks like. God, the Holy Spirit, use the word of God to convict us when we disobey him. And then, act on our repentance of our sin. You know what he does? He empowers us. By his grace, we don't deserve it, but in his grace and power, he lifts us up, empowers us to overcome our sinful nature, and just take one little step toward becoming holy, toward living a righteous life. God is doing it. Finally, verse 17, he reveals the total impact that the Word of God has on our lives. It makes us complete, prepared for every good work. Which means that the Word of God makes us spiritually mature. Follow Christ is not complete without the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you will never experience the abundant life that God has for you. The Word makes you complete. It prepares you for every good work. I'm going to let that set in soon. It prepares you for every good work. I want you to think about another scripture that maybe you've heard or read before in the Bible about good works. It says, he prepares us for the Word of God prepares for every good work. Might that be the good works that he talks about in Ephesians 3? I love this passage. It speaks about our identity. It's so awesome. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship. That, first of all, means that you are God's masterpiece. He not only knit you together in your mother's womb, he not only had plans and purposes when he was creating you, he not only had that when you come to Christ, he's got a whole other set of works that he wants you to walk in. This is what it says. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. By the word of God, you are made complete and mature. You are prepared and equipped to walk in those good works that God has prepared for you. Now, can you imagine that? I can try to imagine and think of some things in my own mind, things that might be good. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I'm very limited. I don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon, but I'm very limited in what I know. But can you imagine God? Be God, the one true God who created you and created everything, knows the past, present, and future, planning out good works for you. He designed you personally, each one. He knows you better than anyone else. No one can know what the possibilities are, but God, for your life, no one knows what you're capable of like God does. And he prepared us. That you should walk in. That should make us excited. We have everything we need to be equipped. We have everything we need to grow in spiritual maturity. We have everything we need to be fully devoted followers of Christ. We have examples, even here in the body, Christian maturity in the body. Most importantly, we have the Word of God, as we talked about, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, convicting us, empowering us to live according to God's word, to bring the glory. Just to be faithful. Went off the camera. Just being faithful today. The real question is this. It's hard. Do you want to be spiritually mature? Do you want to be spiritually mature? Do you want to give the time and effort needed God desires that we grow and become clean and mature. I'm not saying perfect. I didn't say perfect. We'll never be made perfect beside that. But God desires that we be made complete. Spiritually mature, equipped to do what He has commanded us to do. And He's not left you alone to make this decision. You don't have to make this choice on your own power. Not only do you have a church, every believer has the Holy Spirit living in you, just waiting for you to surrender to His leadership. Just take a small step and say, Lord, today, just today, I'm going to surrender to Your leadership. I'm going to walk by the Spirit so that I do not have time to die to Galatians 5:16. I'm going to keep in step with this Spirit. Galatians 5:21. Keep in step. Meaning, there's no better place to be than in God's, under God's leadership, under His hand of grace and guidance. There's no better place to be. Do you want to be equipped, matured, fully devoted to following Christ? That's the description of what a disciple of Jesus is. That's why it's part of our mission. Number one, to raise up and deploy people who are equipped, mature, and fully devoted to following Christ. That's what a disciple of Jesus is. If you're not a believer today, you have no idea how the Word of God will impact your life. If you have no idea what the abundant life God has for you, you don't know. You have no idea the plans and the works that He's prepared beforehand for you. You must first receive this gift of life. Acknowledge your sin before God. Turn away from it. Ask His forgiveness. Believe on Him. Believe that Jesus is God. That He came in the flesh, that He died on the cross for you as the perfect sinless sacrifice, and He rose from the grave, and you believe that, and if you want Him to be Lord of your life, you need to surrender your life to Him, and He becomes Lord of your life. He calls the shots. It's no longer your turn, it's His turn. And His terms are found in His Word. And when you do that, He's going to forgive all your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past or how bad you think you are. Doesn't matter how big you think your sin is, His blood covered it all. He is the price that He paid on the cross and forgive all your sin. Every death. He will forgive you, and He will not only forgive you, He will empower you to talk about. And He will give you perfect peace and everlasting joy, certain hope, and true purpose, and so much more. That's what God wants for every single human being on this planet, because they're all created in the image of God. And the end picture that we find in Revelation says that there's going to be every nation, tribe, people, and language gathered around His throne, multitude of kings. That's the end picture. That's what God's doing right now. He wants everyone to have real, true hope, forgiveness, lasting peace. God created us to